Lecture topic, Preserving the Essence of Sunnah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. Amma ba'du fa'audhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كل أمتي يدخلون الجنة إلا من أبى قيل ومن يأبى يا رسول الله قال من أطاعني دخل الجنة ومن عصاني فقد أبى أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. When a person is hoping to get selected for something, it might be some very high paid job, some position that he's applied for somewhere. So he's hoping that he gets accepted for that job. Or maybe some example that might be more closer to home, that we understand more easily. Person has gone somewhere in the hope of now putting forward his proposal. So now he's gone on that, as we call it, samosa run. So when he's in any such situation, where he's hoping to be selected, accepted, so he will put forward his best. He'll present himself in the way that he can best present himself. And why will he do this? To the extent that a person sometimes is not what he is presenting himself to be. Good amount of it is just a front for that moment. But he does that. He presents himself in the best way he can in the hope of getting selected, getting accepted. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has declared in the Quran Sharif that if you want to get accepted, get selected in the court of Allah Ta'ala, there's only one way for it. To get accepted and selected in the court of Allah Ta'ala is قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. The only path to the selection and acceptance in the court of Allah Ta'ala is to follow in the Mubarak footsteps of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no other path. Anybody who tries anything else, tries any other path, then that path will lead to destruction, it will lead to disgrace, to humility in dunya, and to the eternal problems of akhirat. So the only path is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is what we call as the path of the sunnah. Now one is the understanding of sunnah, that is commonly the terminology that is used, that sunnah is one of the categories that the fuqaha has categorized, that certain aspects are farz, then it's wajib, and then it's sunnah, and then mustahab, etc. So that's a separate categorization. That's a terminology to understand the maqam and position of each aspect. That if something, for example, is not fard, then it is incorrect to elevate it to the position of fard. And if something is on the level of nafil, then we won't call it wajib for that matter. So to understand each thing in its proper perspective and position, the fuqaha categorized it for us to make it easy for us to understand. But when it comes to the word sunnah that is used in the hadith sharif, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, alaykum bi sunnati, hold on fast to my sunnah, that terminology is different. That is not confined to any particular act. That is a description of the entire way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alaykum bi sunnati, everything that I have presented as my way of life, hold on to it. So whether it is something that was farz, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, that too is part of his sunnah, meaning his way of life, that he fulfilled the faraiz. If it was a mustahab act, that too is part of his sunnah. Because that mustahab act became mustahab because of his action. And then there's the sunnahs of the zahir, of the external self, the sunnahs of the batin, of the internal self. Sunnahs in a very, very broad description is not something confined to any particular aspect. Sunnah in the meaning of a complete way of life. So now sometimes, mashallah, we do adopt some sunnahs, which is a very great thing, but then that becomes the be-all and end-all. That, well, this is, now I'm already doing certain things, or apparently I seem to be somebody who is adherent to the sunnah, but there are other departments of life, other aspects of life that we are far away from the sunnah. And that doesn't even cross our mind that, what about these aspects? For example, on one occasion, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed Anas radiallahu ta'ala an, who was his khadim khas, his special attendant, who had come into the company and the khidmah and the service of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the tender age of 10 years. He was 10 years old, his mother came and presented him to be the khadim. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, he was 20, thereabouts. For 10 years he was in the khidmah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addresses him and says to him, Ya Bunayya. Now with great love, great affection, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is addressing him, saying to him, O my beloved son, Ya Bunayya, in qadarta an tusbiha wa tumsiya wa laysa fi qalbika ghishun li ahad, faf'al. The crux of this, O my son, keep your heart clean of malice for anyone. Now this is the lesson Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving him, and it appears from this address that this was in a very special time. It probably might have been only him present, as a very, very special address and something filled with great amount of love and care. And the special time, the special moment, the special address, a very special message. The special message, and this Anas radiallahu ta'ala was great favor to the ummah that he then passed on this message to everyone. That keep your heart clean of malice for anybody. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِن سُنَّتِ. That this particular aspect of keeping the heart clean of malice for anyone, this is my sunnah. Now mashallah, many sunnats, Allah ta'ala's tawfiq, it's Allah's grace and mercy, Allah ta'ala's blessing and kindness upon us. That for example, if we fulfilled, now before salah we made wudu, Allah ta'ala gave us a tawfiq of using the miswak, which is such a great sunnah. So Allah ta'ala's blessing, alhamdulillah, that's a very great aspect. That should never ever be regarded as something minor, trivial, or any sunnah for that matter. And trivializing a sunnah will put a person's iman on the line. Not fulfilling a sunnah, a person lost out on the reward. But he mocks any sunnah, that will take him out of iman. He'll lose his iman, because he's mocking an aspect of deen, an aspect of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if that sunnah, mashallah, Allah gave us tawfiq, we fulfill that sunnah, we should make shukr for it, alhamdulillah. It enhances the reward of the salah 70 times. So how can we ever afford to lose out on that? And likewise, all the other sunnats of wudu, the sunnats of salah, so Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq, alhamdulillah. We should be making shukr for it. If we have been blessed to be adopting the sunnah of libas, our dressing, our appearance, Allah gave us a tawfiq to keep our beards according to the sunnah. The sunnah meaning the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has emphasized it. Awfirul luha. That lengthen the beard. If we are keeping our garments as per the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, males have been emphasized above the ankles. It's termed as the sunnah in terms of that this is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there are great warnings for not fulfilling this. So So now if all this is mashallah in somebody's life, alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, but have you also considered this internal sunnat? That is my heart clean of malice. Things happen somewhere, sometimes within the home, sometimes in the family circles, sometimes between friends, sometimes in the workplace, wherever. Sometimes things go well. Dunya is dunya, all kinds of things happen in dunya. But then a person sometimes didn't manage to vent his anger, because anger is a very dangerous malady. If a person had that power to vent his anger, he'll vent it, which is also another problem. He just vents it anywhere and everywhere and anyhow. And if he didn't manage to vent the anger, then that gets bottled inside. And bottled, then gradually that becomes malice. Now he's wishing ill for the next person. He is actually wishing that something must go wrong in the person's life. That person's business must collapse. This person must get sick. And that person, something else must happen. Whereas what is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And what is the sunnah he taught us? That لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. The heart, sunnahs of the heart. That none of you is a believer until he loves for his fellow Muslim what he loves for himself. Now does he love harm for himself? He loves that his business must collapse. He must get sick. He must fall and break his hand. How can he be wishing that for somebody else? But that is malice. He's wishing some harm, some problem, some difficulty on others. Now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us that what is the sunnah of the heart? What kind of heart should there be? The heart that is filled with well-wishing for everybody. The heart that is clean of malice. Now this is a sunnah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing it as such. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. And then alongside this, وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ سُنَّتِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. And the one who will love my way of life, he'll be with me in Jannah. Subhanallah. What a link. The link with keeping the heart clean. Now this is not confined to only this, but sunnah again in the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all encompassing. Not taking some things and na'uzubillah discarding some things. If a person didn't manage to do something, he should regard it as his weakness. Regard it as his weakness, that my weakness it is a deficiency, and I lost out on this, but inshallah, Allah give me tawfiq. But never ever regard any sunnah as minor, as trivial, as insignificant. Allah forbid, that can put a person's iman on the line. So in any case, this is one very important angle to ponder about, to think about. What about the sunnahs within us, internally, in our hearts? Then in this regard, the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, meaning his way of life, what kind of example he set. We're just taking some few examples from the various different ahadith. So now everybody has time at home. Finally, eventually everybody has to, at the end of the day, go home. So now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also had a home. It's very difficult for us to imagine what kind of home. The size of that home, the simplicity of that home, that's another subject matter on its own. The size of the home was such that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be performing his tahajjud, then in the room of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, now when he would have to go into sajda, then he would have to tap her foot so that she'll move her feet out of the way so he could make sajda. There wasn't even more place that he could perform his salah in, a place where there won't be anything in between. So any case, when he would come home, how would he spend his time at home? Now that's the sunnah for us to ponder over. كَانَ إِذَا أَوَى إِلَىٰ مَنْزِلِهِ جَزَّأَ دُخُولَهُ ثَلَاثَةَ أَجْزَىٰ. So this narration in the Shama'il of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the narrator explains that he relates from Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would divide his time into three portions. Now something for us to ponder, our day-to-day life, our manner at home, our time indoors, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would divide his time into three portions. Juz'an lillah. One portion, one third, one portion of the night for Allah ta'ala. In the ibadat of Allah ta'ala, in the zikr of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in tahajjud salah. One portion of the night for Allah. وَجُزْءًا لِأَهْلِهِ. One portion of the night for his family. So one portion, we call it in our understanding, our terminology, family time. But that family time also, the ahadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would even engage in some lightheartedness with the Azwaja Mutahharat. And in that there would be this teaching of deen to them, there'll be advice. But all this will be in that family time. There'll be that bonding, there'll be that ta'aleem. Juz'an lillah, one portion of the night for Allah ta'ala, one portion of the night for his family, or juz'an li nafsihi, one portion of the night for himself, take care of his own needs at that time, etc. Now this is the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided his time. Then the portion that was for himself, ثُمَّ جَزَّأَ جُزْءَهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ النَّاسِ. His own one portion of the night, which was for his time, so to say, that too he divided between himself and others who had some needs, they had some work, they had something to inquire. So the khas sahaba would be given an opportunity to come in and to spend some time to ask their questions, to sort their issues. And then through them, those messages would be passed on to the ummah. So that was again, his own time was distributed to the people. But now this division of time, now this is the way Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his way of life. By and large, what has become the division of time nowadays? Me, myself and my cell phone. Juz'an lillah, a portion for Allah ta'ala, hardly anything or nothing. And then juz'an li ahlihi, family time too, that too has become gone. See, you know, eating time too, the person is on his phone. While he's eating with everybody too, he is busy on his phone. Or whatever other things, he's stuck in some corner, that's his occupation. He's got a full crowd, me, myself, and I, and my phone, four people. So he's got no time for anybody. The children are growing up in a home sometimes, where the father is present, but they are like orphans, because they have been deprived of their father by the phone. Phone has grabbed him. And sometimes the mother is grabbed by her phone. So the children grab their own phones also. And the whole household environment is something else. Whereas this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the things mentioned in the ahadith, كان يكره الحديث بعد يكره النوم قبل العشاء والحديث بعده. Before Isha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam disliked that a person should go and sleep. Because he might miss his Isha. Now especially the Sahaba Ikram, they used to be the whole day very, very occupied and very hard work and labor. And now the person, it's a summer day, so Isha is late. Now after Maghrib, he decided to take a nap and he had a very long, tiring day. This fear he might oversleep. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam disliked that a person sleeps before Isha. And he disliked that he engages in conversations and talks after Isha. Now that's the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fuqaha and the muhaddithin explain certain exceptions. Among the exceptions, some dini talk is taking place. Some ta'aleem is taking place. And among the exceptions they mention is, a person engaging in some conversation with his wife, giving his some family time, that's also an exception. But now these exceptions which the muhaddithin have established, the fuqaha have established, that this is not included in that karahat and what is makruh, those exceptions are not taken advantage of. And what is not to be done, person is spending half the night sitting on his phone. Now this is the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, juz'an lillah, in his home, indoors, one portion for Allah ta'ala, one portion for family, and then one portion for himself, but his own portion too was given back to people. Now this is part of the way of life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Unfortunately, because we are so caught up in whatever other things we are doing, we haven't had the time to read some authentic book on the Seerah Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are many, mashallah, excellent books on the Seerah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should inquire from the ulama ikram which one we should select and read. But not one. We should read one, finish off, then read another also, find out again first which one is to be selected, which is an authentic Seerah. Not something written by someone who in the cover of the Seerah is trying to push in ideas which are not even in order. So in any case, it's something to study the Mubarak life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Uswa-e Rasool Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a beautiful book of Dr. Abdul Hayy Arifi rahmatullah alayhi. Then the Khasail al-Nabawi of the Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi. And so many other books, mashallah. So the thing is to learn about the Mubarak life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that we will get all these angles as well. We talk about, mashallah, the sunnah, which is very, very important for us. We sometimes feel we are, mashallah, immersed in it and perfect. But actually we are in a kind of deception, because we have adopted some sunnahs and think this is now, we've done. Whereas those some sunnahs that we are practicing, alhamdulillah, that's a tremendously great bounty from Allah Ta'ala. But sometimes the same person is involved in things which are totally against the way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, in one riwayat, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is described, ma kana fahishan wala mutafahishan wala sakhaban fil aswaq wala yajzi bis sayyi'ati sayyi'a walakin ya'fu wa yasfahu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's personality is being described, his beautiful akhlaq is being described, ma kana fahishan. He was never vulgar, never deliberately vulgar, and wala mutafahishan, never forcing oneself to be. Some people, they are not vulgar by, they haven't made their nature vulgar. Because when a person gets exposed to something over and over again, and he starts, then that becomes his nature. He only can talk that flowery language. He's gone so low. And sometimes the person is not of that, but now he's in that kind of circle, so he starts talking like that. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam never did these things. Now what about our tongue? How close it is to the way of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is not that if a person did this, he hasn't followed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's manner of speech, but he's committed a sin, serious sin. Wala sakhaban fil aswaq. He never shouted even in the marketplace, let alone in the home. Marketplace, why marketplace? That's a place where there's a lot of noise and everybody shouting. Even in such a place, he didn't shout. So you would find in the ahadith on certain occasions when there was a need to emphasize something, to warn about something, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam somewhat raised his voice, his tone went a bit elevated. But you'll never find anywhere he screamed. Screaming and shouting, not to be found anywhere. Allahu alam. So now if a person, that has become his way, that anything he's unhappy about, then he's screaming his guts out, shouting down people around him. That is not in keeping with the Mubarak way of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in any case, these are some of the pointers, that the way of life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is all comprehensive. We have to learn about all this and make an effort to bring it in our lives. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.